Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Welcome back to the program again this week. I'm excited about today. I think we're going to see some things that I very seldom hear anybody unpack. But I believe you're going to be blessed by them. And I really think that there is a strong, strong reinforcement of Scripture to the things that I'm declaring to you. We are in a series. If this is the first time you've tuned in, this is Revelation, the 11th chapter. We've been in a series called Revelation Revisited. We're talking about the two witnesses, the 42-month siege of the Romans, the trumpets of God, and the mighty angel with a rainbow over his head. And we've covered that over the last couple of weeks. And if you have missed any of them, I encourage you, please, you cannot just grab a snippet of this and understand what I'm trying to say. You must go back and review and see this in context if you're going to understand some of the things that we're saying. Because we're showing that this book of Revelation and these things that we're dealing with, at least in these chapters, are not in your future. They were fulfilled in the first century in complete fulfillment of what Jesus prophesied would take place within his generation. So if you have missed any of these, I highly, highly encourage you to go back to my YouTube channel or to my podcast or to the RSS feed and at least listen to the audio portions of this and watch them and listen to them over and over again, because I'm connecting dots over and over and over again throughout this book of Revelation. So we are in chapter 11. I hope to conclude it in this segment. Don't know if we will or not. If we don't, we will do another one. But I'm coming back to read again Revelation 11. We covered the two witnesses last week. And so I'm going to just do a little bit of review on them, but we're going to read this again. It says, "And then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those that worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. They shall tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." And then it goes on to say, "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut the heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have the power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, kill them. Their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Now, I told you, and I probably need to just say this again here before I move on. It said, this has been a game changer for me. As I've read over this so many times, but to see the truth of what this is saying here. "Their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Our Lord was not crucified in Sodom or Egypt. Our Lord was crucified in no other city than Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit is calling that Sodom and Egypt. And Jesus even prophesied to one group. He said, if the people of Sodom had seen the miracles you saw, they would have repented long ago, and they will rise up against you in the day of judgment and condemn this generation. Not this one way down the road, the people Jesus was demonstrating the kingdom to, and that was what he was prophesying, is the fall and the demise of Jerusalem in Matthew 24, when he said, even concerning the temple, not one stone will be left upon another that will not be thrown down. Verse 9 says, Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. Great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, Come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. And the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God. The second woe was past, the third woe was coming quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, which is the last trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned, and the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. Now, I've got in my notes that this resurrection must be connected to Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 12, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All of this occurs at the last trumpet. The messenger of Revelation 10 is the chief messenger or the archangel, the mighty angel with a rainbow on his head. 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself descends from heaven with the voice of the archangel or with the voice of the chief messenger. And 1 Corinthians 15 puts the timing of the resurrection of the dead during the last trumpet. The last trumpet sounds during this period of time in the final time when the Romans siege this city for 42 months. Now, let me go back and read this thing concerning these two witnesses and what they are symbolic of. I put these two witnesses, I read this in the last one, but I'm going to read it again. But these two witnesses are symbolic of Moses and Elijah, which represent the law and the prophets. They are presenting the legal case against the harlot city that is now being judged. All that they prophesied is now coming to its manifestation. These are the days of vengeance, that all things that were spoken would be fulfilled. Remember, the little book that was open had in it lamentation, mourning, and woe for the apostates, but it had redemption for the believers. The believers were singing the new song, the song of redemption. Their redemption was drawing nigh. They prophesied for 1,260 days or 42 months, times, and a half a time. This is the same time period that the woman is kept in the wilderness in Revelation chapter 12, hidden from the tribulation because God had not appointed his people to wrath but to obtain salvation. Perhaps this is the other two that stood on the other side of the bank of the river in Daniel chapter 12, possibly the two witnesses of Revelation 11. They are also the two olive trees from the book of Zechariah. The imagery is drawn from the idea that the mountain must be removed with shouts of grace to it. The mountain is Mount Sinai, as we've already shown, and the only place in the scripture where there is a double annunciation of grace is in John 1, where it describes the transition from Moses to Christ. For Moses gave you the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ and grace for grace. The cornerstone, the chief cornerstone was laid, and the old covenant was waxing away, and the mountain was being removed. Zechariah 5, there's a flying roll right on the heels of the removal of that mountain. There's a flying roll that is the curse over the face of the whole land, much like you see in Revelation, the little book that is open. In it was lamentation, mourning, and woe in Zechariah 5, after the two olive trees stand and after these two witnesses that he declares that they are, stand, there's a flying roll in which declares there's a curse over all the land. After this, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit kills them. This speaks to me of the Romans fulfilling the curses that came from Moses and Elijah. As you see throughout the book of Revelation, I'm not reading that. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless kills them, which speaks of the Romans fulfilling the curses that came from Moses and Elijah, as you see throughout the book of Revelation, to smite the earth as often as they will with plagues. These are the fulfillments because Moses and Elijah, Moses was the one who smote the earth as often as he would with plagues, and Elijah would shut up the heavens that it rained not during the days of his prophecy. As I have shown prior to this, the plagues of Egypt are compared to the plagues in the book of Revelation. The prophecies of Elijah to shut up the heavens that it rained not during in the fulfillment are again the curses of the old covenant God would withhold rain from them. The death of these two witnesses seems to symbolize that fact that the Romans have successfully brought an end to the law and to the prophets, to their temple, their Levitical priesthood, and all of their trappings, even as all of their prophecies have now come to pass and all the old covenant trappings have now been removed, hence they are celebrating the death of these two tormenting prophets. Their dead bodies lying in the street for 3.5 days. These 3.5 days could speak of the 3.5 years. Using the day for a year principle would be equivalent to 42 months or times 1.5 times. The resurrection of these witnesses could symbolize the resurrection of the martyrs of all the Old Testament saints as seen during the resurrection that would take place during the last trumpet. Remember, all of these plagues and judgments are coming as a result of the prayers of the saints saying, "How long till you avenge us?" These, in fact, are the days of vengeance, and the woes that Jesus prophesied in Matthew 23 are now coming upon this generation of apostates. This could also be connected with Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 12, the resurrection of the old covenant saints. Now, let me just stop here and go over here to Daniel chapter 7 and try to tie some of this together. It is so difficult to do this in such a short period of time. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible, but it says, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the visions of his head as he was lying upon his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the gist of the matter. Daniel said, 'I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens, political and social agitations, were stirring up the great sea, the nations of the world. And four great beasts came up out of the sea in succession and different from one another. The first, the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, was like a lion. So the first kingdom was Babylon, and had eagle's wings. I looked till its wings of it were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon 2 feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second, the Medo-Persian Empire, was like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side for one dominion, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told to rise and devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and behold, another, the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great, like a leopard, which had 4 wings of a bird on its back. The beast also had also 4 heads, Alexander's generals, his successors, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, behold, a 4th beast, the Roman Empire." Now, I want you to see this again. "The Roman Empire, terrible and powerful and dreadful and exceedingly strong, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and crushed and trampled what was left with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that came before it, and it had 10 horns, symbolizing 10 kings. Now, remember, it's the Romans. Remember, it's the Romans that sieged the city here. Daniel chapter 2, when the king of Babylon had the dream, Daniel interpreted the dream to the king of Babylon and said, "Here is what you saw. You saw what would happen in the latter days or the end of days." And he told the king, "You, king of Babylon, are the head of gold. After you is going to arise Darius the Medes and the Persians, then the Greeks under Alexander the Great, then the Romans. But in the days of these," and he talked about the 10 toes of that image in Daniel chapter 2. Go read it in the Amplified Bible. It'll do the homework for you. It says, "In the days of these final 10 kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be removed. And the kingdom will not be left to other people. A rock cut out of the mountain will smite the image in its feet, and it will cover the whole earth. Jesus was the stone the builders rejected. He was the chief cornerstone that was laid with shouts of grace to it. He was the king of the kingdom that is now been birthed and ever increasing, even from the time of the Roman Empire." But he said, "After this, I saw the night vision. Behold, a 4th beast, Roman Empire, terrible, powerful, dreadful, exceedingly strong, had great iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled what was left with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that came before it. It had 10 horns, symbolizing 10 kings. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among another horn, a little one, before which the 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I kept looking until thrones were placed for the assessors with the judge." This is Jesus' fulfillment of this. Jesus was drawing, I believe, his prophecy, or telling his disciples, when he said, "You will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This imagery again is seen in Revelation 4 when there is a throne and then there are thrones set, assessors with the judge, And the Ancient of Days, God the Eternal Father, took his seat, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like fiery flame, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream came forth from before him, and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 rose up and stood before him. The judge was seated, the court was in session, and the books were opened. And then I looked, then because of the sound of the great words which the horn was speaking. And I watched until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. Now, I want you to see the judge was seated, the court was in session, and the books were open. When you see people being judged according to the things that were written in the book in Revelation chapter 11, and also in the when he talks to some of the one of the churches in Asia, he's talking to them about some kind of a judgment that you can clearly see is set during the time of this Roman Empire and this great beast that's now on the scene that's speaking great words. The articulation of how this is even worded is really the same verbiage that's used to describe the beast in Revelation chapter 13. This beast is the Roman Empire when Nero, who is the head of it, who is the beast, I've showed you that in prior segments before. He's the one that's going to kill these prophets. He's the one that martyred a lot of the saints and killed this beast that arises out of the bottomless pit will kill them. In other words, he's the one that brings about the destruction to the entire law prophets and brings that thing to a complete end where the power of the holy people and the covenant of Moses and the covenant of the law and the prophets has now been completely fulfilled and the power of the holy people has been broken and God enters into a new covenant with us through Messiah. The judge was seated, the court was in session, the books were opened. Verse 11, I looked in because of the sound of the great words which the horn was speaking. I watched that the beast was slain, his body destroyed, given over to be burned. For the rest of the beast, their power of dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged, for the duration of their lives was fixed for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, on the clouds of heaven came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Whether you know it or not, this is the verse that Jesus quoted when he stood before Caiaphas, when Caiaphas said, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Jesus says, and from henceforth you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He said that to Caiaphas, puts it in that time slot again. Jesus quotes Daniel 7, verse 13. He's declaring, that's why the high priest rent his clothes. He said, you blaspheme because you are declaring yourself to be this one that Daniel prophesied about. He, in fact, was the one. The judgment was now. The thrones are set. The 12 apostles and their ministry was bringing the judgment to the apostates who would not receive their message. God gave them another 40 years and sent prophets, apostles, to whom they killed and martyred. And there are dead bodies lying in the streets everywhere that have been victims of these Romans who have killed them. But I like this. And there was given to him, the Messiah, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall never be destroyed. Now remember again what happens in the days of the seventh angel when he begins to sound. He declares that the kingdoms of this world are now in the rightful ownership of its rightful owner, the Messiah. Jesus is not going to be Lord. He's Lord right now. He's not going to be king. He's king right now. He was declared to be king 2,000 years ago and counting and has been presently reigning, and his kingdom is increasing over all of the earth. And there was given to him, the Messiah, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, will not pass away, and his kingdom one which shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved and anxious within me. The visions of my head alarmed me and agitated me. And I came near to one of those who stood there and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. The four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High God shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever and ever. Folks, we win. This is a victorious eschatology. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was before, was from all the others exceedingly terrible and shocking, whose teeth were of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured broken crushed and trampled what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns representing 10 kings that were on its head, and the other horn which came up later, before which three of the horns fell, the horn which had eyes had a mouth and spoke great things, and which looked greater than the others. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. That very verse is quoted in Revelation 13, verse 7 through 9. The beast with a great mouth speaking great words and blasphemy, and it was given to him to overcome the saints for 42 months, times and a half of times, was the period of time in which this kingdom would be able to subdue and have power. It was given to him to prevail over them for a time, times and a half of times, the 42 months, until the Ancient of Days came. Let me go back and read this again. He had a mouth that spoke great things and which looked greater than the others. And I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Revelation 13, verse 7 through 9. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High God. And at that time, when the saints possessed the kingdom, thus the angel said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it to pieces and crush. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the former ones, and he shall subdue and put down 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High God and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the time of the sacred feast and holy days and the law. The saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and one half a time, or 3.5 years, the time when the holy city is trodden underfoot by the Gentiles. But the judgment will set by the court of the Most High, and they shall take away his dominion to consume it gradually and to destroy it suddenly in the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my waking thoughts troubled me, alarmed me much, and my cheerfulness of countenance was changed in me, but I kept the matter of the interpreting angel's information in my heart and in my mind. Now, this last trumpet sounds again during the time when this beast arises and he kills these two witnesses. It is the time when he speaks great words, wears out the saints. But I want you to see that when he comes, but there is a resurrection that begins to take place when the seventh trumpet sounds. Now remember, the last trumpet sounds in 1 Corinthians 15 is when there is a resurrection. I'm going to quote this because I don't have time to turn to it a lot. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, and the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now he's talking to Thessalonians. And he's saying to them who are losing loved ones in their arenas and they're losing their loved ones, he's saying to them, I don't want you to be ignorant about them who are falling asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others, which don't have any hope. But if you believe that the Lord Jesus, is warning them, and then Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Everything that was happening to them prior to and after that fourth chapter was a warning to Thessalonica. Don't let any man alarm you, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That day will not come. He's writing to them to warn them, not us. He's writing to church. How do I know that? It's the title of the book. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant that we will, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them who are falling asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which don't have any hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the chief messenger, same archangel that you see in Revelation chapter 11. And the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall arise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When he's declaring to them, he's telling them, we're not all going to sleep, because in the old covenant, up until Jesus' resurrection, I'm probably going to have to let this roll into the next segment because I want to do this justice. So if we break here in just a little while, then I want to be really clear with this. So if it seems like we run out of time, we will take it into next week's program, just to let you have a heads up about it, because I'm not going to try to rush this, because I think this is some important information. In 1 Thessalonians 4, let me just see if I can look that up for you very quickly here. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he's writing to them, once again, remember, he's writing to them at the church at Thessalonica. How do I know that? Because it's the title of the book. And everything that leads up to that is an admonishment to the church at Thessalonica. He's warning them and trying to get them to see that they need to walk in holiness and purity and all the things that is taking place there. But then he begins to tell them let me see if I can find this real quickly. Verse 13. This is 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse number 13, and I need to get this to you out of a different translation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I need to get my King James up here. There we go. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Now, we're about to run out of time on this segment pretty much, but like I said, I'm going to run into the next one. So as it comes to the end here, just know that I'm still continuing to build. If you'd like to sow a seed into this ministry, you can do that by going to my website. I'm not going to deal any time with that. But we're going to begin to take a look at, as we move into this next segment, some things concerning this resurrection. Remember, again, as I close this segment, that Daniel 7, Daniel 12, Revelation 10, all puts the time of a resurrection during the time when these Romans are in power, and during the time of the last 3.5 years, 42 months, times and a half a time, I reiterate that over and over again, during that period of time in which the kings are in power, puts this resurrection squarely in that time period. And so as we go into this next segment, I'm going to show you, I think, how the resurrection takes place, because Paul is going to connect the dots for you, and he's going to say it by the Lord's own.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.